Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Believers City Church Wednesday night rewind broadcast. We're broadcasting on 101.7 FM in Menominee. We're streaming live over the internet at jfbelievers.com. That's our Believers City Church website. And if you're out there looking to be part of a group discussion beyond just this broadcast, we have those available too. Just contact us in the church office. There's one meeting in the Blind Munchies Coffee House. If you're in the Menominee area, that'd be the best one to stop into. Beyond that, we're in the towns of Colfax and Glenwood City, Baldwin. In Woodville, not Baldwin. We're down in Durand. We're over in Bloomer and over in Eau Claire. But the point of our Wednesday evenings is to cover our passage from the previous Sunday in sort of a recap fashion. To open up our Bibles together, to answer and talk through some questions together and see if we can't connect the dots of how to make this stuff real in our own lives. So that's what we'll do tonight. We'll be in Judges chapter 10. That was our passage from Sunday. I'm going to read it here in a moment, and we'll go and get off started from there. Just a reminder, on Sunday, we focused on God's mercy. We see in this story the people are rebellious towards God yet again. They just turn away from Him, start doing their own thing, and they even worship other gods. And basically that makes God angry. However, God's response doesn't stop with anger. Sure, He punishes them, and it's for a long time, for 18 years. But what happens is, after they repent, once they turn back to God, He's ready to forgive and to show mercy. Our chapter kind of just gets the wheels turning on what that mercy and what that rescue from God is going to look like. And so we don't see the details on that quite yet, but we do get a glimpse into God's heart, how He feels about it. And so if we're going to answer the question, what will God do if I turn toward Him? How will God respond if I turn back to Him? And here we get a story where God openly and lovingly shows mercy. And so let's read the passage for tonight. We'll go to a bit of a recap from our recording from the sermon on Sunday, show a few highlights, and then I'll send you off into discussions. So why don't we read Judges chapter 10, and I'm going to start in verse 6 and read through verse 16. It says, "Then the people of Israel turned away from the Lord again, and they worshipped the heathen gods Baal and Ashtoreth, and the gods of Syria, Sidon, Moab, Ammon, and Philistia. Not only this, but they no longer worshipped God at all. This made God very angry with His people, and He immediately permitted the Philistines and the Ammonites to begin tormenting them. These attacks took place east of the Jordan River in the land of the Amorites, that is, in Gilead, and also in Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. For the Ammonites crossed the Jordan to attack the Israelites. This went on for 18 years. Finally, the Israelites returned to the Lord, and they begged Him to save them. 'We have sinned against You and have forsaken You as our God and have worshipped idols,' they confessed. But the Lord replied, 'Didn't I save you from the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites? Has there ever been a time when you cried out to Me that I haven't rescued you? Yet you continue to abandon Me and to worship other gods. So go away, I won't save you anymore. Go and cry out to those new gods that you have chosen. Let them save you in your hour of distress.' But the people pleaded with Him again, and they said, 'We have sinned. Punish us in any way that You think is best. Only save us once more from our enemies.' Then they destroyed their foreign gods and worshipped only the Lord, and He was grieved by their misery." So again, the people turn from God. They've done wrong. It's sin. God calls it evil, and He gets angry with them. Eventually, they turn back. Because God has given them this punishment, He allows the surrounding nations basically to torment them and to rule over them. And when Israel is feeling enough pain, it took 18 years for this to happen, and they feel enough pain, They turn back to God, and it says at the very end, he was grieved by their misery. This is the heart of God. This is the mercy of God. He will get angry with our decisions. He will discipline us as a parent disciplines their children. This is our Heavenly Father providing heavenly discipline to us, not the kind of earth, but the kind that knows all things and knows what's best for us. And so God will get angry, but he is merciful. He delights to show mercy. His mercy never stops or ends. His mercy is new every day. And so here we see, even after 18 years, the people turn back to God, and he's ready to receive them. Well, with that, we'll go into our recap from Sunday. It's just a short couple clips from the Sunday sermon. So I hope you're out there able to connect with a group and have a good discussion after this. God bless everybody. We'll see you on Sunday. All right, so the Israelites turn away from God. Times were apparently good. Tola and Jair, they ruled for up to 40 years. There was peace. Things were okay for them. No war, no struggle, no trouble. Times were good, but the people slowly drifted away from God. It says they started to worship other gods. Now, notice in verse 6, God calls this evil. He says they worshiped other gods. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. To know who God is, to turn away from him and to worship a different god is evil. And that's a different definition than a lot of what we use today. I think we call acts of atrocity evil, ways that we harm people. Murder's evil, you know, school and business shootings. There was a stabbing yesterday in I think it was a mall in Michigan, maybe. We call that evil. God considered it evil to turn away from him and worship a different god. Okay, and this makes him very angry. Look at verse 7. He says he was hot with anger. He burned with anger. So he turns them over to their enemies. This isn't the first time this has happened. A couple chapters prior, in Judges chapter 6, he did the exact same thing. Okay, they did evil. They turned away from God. And so he put them into the hand of their enemies. And then they experienced the struggle for years and years and years after that. It's not the first time God did this. Here he does it for 18 years. The Israelites are then enslaved for 18 years. So God turns them over to their enemies. So God brings the people some pain here. This is a little bit different than the people did something. It ended up hurting, like they hurt themselves. And then they experienced some learning curve because of what they experienced. It's a different circumstance. Okay? God brings the pain to the people. He says he turned them over to their enemies in his anger. Okay, I think your parents can probably understand this. There's times where your anger, it needs to be measured, but your anger is what causes you to bring some pain. Okay, apparently it's okay for God. I would assume it's okay for your parents in certain circumstances. Okay, but God brings pain. This is our God. Sometimes he institutes the pain. Sometimes he literally is the one causing it. Okay, God's mercy doesn't mean that he never punishes us. You might think, okay, God's a merciful God, that's great. So if I do something wrong, he won't tell me he's mad, he'll just say he's disappointed. You know, he won't send me to my room without dinner. He'll just say, just try not to do it again sometime. That's not mercy. That's not God's mercy. Okay? This doesn't mean that God never punishes us. If we say that he's merciful, this doesn't mean that God never gets angry. We can see here, he does. Both his anger and his mercy are at work in this story. Okay? Mercy does not mean that God has a soft heart all the time. There are some things God can't be compassionate towards. He can't be sympathetic toward our sin. God hates sin. It's the very thing that hurts us. It's the very thing that takes us away from him. God is not sympathetic toward that. God gets angry at things that harm us. Sometimes the thing that harms us the most is our own stupidity, our own selfishness. Here, God's anger burns hot, and you say, well, where's his mercy? 18 years, he's going to punish the people? Yeah. That is his mercy at work. Because if they keep going this way, they're not going to have a future. The only merciful thing God can do is step in and get them to stop, to relent, to repent. And we'll get to that in a minute. So mercy doesn't mean that God has a soft heart all the time. I will say this, some people are so merciful, as human beings, they're so merciful that they aren't helpful. You're soft-hearted toward people in ways that you enable them to continue on in the harmful activities that they're doing. Okay, some people are so merciful, they want to be so soft-hearted, they never want to step in, have a firm conversation, even discipline in a way that's good for the person. They're so merciful, but they don't end up being helpful to the people when they need help. Think about friends you know that have addiction. Okay, don't enable your friend to continue on in that. Okay, think about your friends when you're suffering and struggling with different sin. Don't just step back and give them patience when what you ought to be doing is stepping in to help them eradicate that from their lives. Some people see mercy as such a soft, squishy thing that is never helpful. And that's not God's mercy. God will never be so merciful to us that it becomes unhelpful, unwise, or unloving. Okay? God will always do what's best for us, even if that means burn hot with anger, give us over to a punishment for a time so that we can be brought back to Him in the end. Let's look at God's response for a minute. Verse 16, God was grieved by their misery, which is the point of what we want to get to today. God is merciful. Okay, He was grieved by their misery. One of the translations I read says He became impatient with their misery. You get the idea that God could no longer stand it. The people truly repented. They really wanted to turn back to Him. And their circumstance start to bother God in a way where He's like, okay, I'm going to do something. Now's the time I'm going to step in and do something. He could no longer take it. And this is who God is. He feels compassion toward us. He feels compassion toward us when we're in misery and pain. He actually wants to step in and help. He won't always immediately, like we've discussed, but He wants to. That's what's in His heart. He desires to show love toward His people. He desires to be with us, to comfort us. That's what Jesus says. Jesus stands outside of Jerusalem and He mourns over the city and He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh how I've longed to gather you under my wing, like a mother hen basically. This is what's in God's heart. He actually wants to show compassion, to show love. But God is inclined toward mercy. And it's important that we know this about Him. He's inclined toward mercy. A lot of us see God as the judge, and we leave it at that. We see God as the disciplinarian, and we leave it at that. Okay, the Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. Doesn't mean we won't be judged according to the accuracy of what we lived. Doesn't mean people won't be punished for their sin. But if you're a Christian, Jesus has already taken the punishment for your sin. God's justice and judgment has been perfectly satisfied. That God may still get angry at the choices that you make. Okay, but there's not condemnation coming if you're a Christian. There's not condemnation as if, okay, all my good stuff and all my bad stuff is kind of out of balance. God must be mad at me this week. If you're following God, if you're a child of God, He loves you, and He's inclined to show mercy, to step in and help when you're struggling, not just to hold you at a distance, not to push your head under the water when you're trying to get above the surface, not to hold something against you in a way that it's going to be years and years before you're back in His good graces. He's actually inclined toward mercy, if there's repentance. If you're somebody that actually loves Him and trusts Him enough to put yourself in his hands. God feels compassion even when we mess up. Okay, this is another struggle that a lot of us have. Well, I made the mistake, so I need to fix it. I can't expect God to come in and help me. No, he feels mercy and compassion even in our stupidity, even in our faithlessness. Think about this. The Israelites were involved in this for 18 years. They held on to this sin, this false worship, for 18 years. The moment they repent, it says God starts to feel impatient about their misery. Have you ever held on to a sin for 18 years? I think there's times where we hold on to something for a
couple days or a couple weeks or a couple months, and we think, oh man, there's no way back. How's God going to forgive me? I've just been involved in this for too long. My heart's been distant. 18 years, and God's ready to forgive them. Our screw-ups don't cancel God's love for us. Our sin does not negate God's love for us. Lastly, God shows actual mercy to actual people. This is not a parable. This is not an Aesop's fable where there's a moral at the end of the story and we need to learn a concept or a principle. These are real people in a real struggle after having committed a real offense. This is not a hypothetical situation. God's mercy is not a future prospect that it's like, oh, maybe one day it will be available to me. This is not for people in the past. This is not for people, not only for people in the past or only for people in the scripture. This is for everyone. This is for you and I. This is real mercy for real people, even dummies like you and me. This is available to us